This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and we are joining you here for a special post-game show here with myself, Keith Cork, and my friend and fellow Bulls fan, Mr. Trey Hill. Trey, tough loss, man. The Bulls lose a thriller tonight, 120 to 127 to the Toronto Raptors in overtime. I got a lot of thoughts about it, man. I know you do too. But first of all, it's fantastic to be back. I've been out sick. I'm sorry, all of our listeners and anyone that's following the show. I wasn't able to record after that Magic game. I'm glad that the Bulls took care of business in that game, Trey. Sorry we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but they didn't exactly put it to the Orlando Magic. Magic fought hard, but they got a win there. But tell me some thoughts about tonight, man. What are you first thing off the top of your head tonight? What do you got going on?
Vucevic's best game of the season.
Yeah.
Really showed his value. I hate to keep saying the same thing after each game, but the lack of size really, really hurt the Bulls. And Toronto's not a tall team. I don't believe they have a player taller than 6'9 on their roster. But they don't have the height, they have the length. Instead of challenging you horizontally, they challenge you, horizontally. Yeah. And so it was a real challenge for a lot of guys, especially DeMar. I thought we just had too much DeMar in this game. Personally, for me, given the length that Toronto has, those were my big takeaways. Vooch's best game of the season and a rough showing for DeMar DeRozan on the offensive end.
He had a rough – I know the first half was really rough, especially with that trap that they were setting on him, that the Bulls had a really hard time adjusting. And we're going to talk about that more, Trey, because I had a comment to you as I was watching the game. Putting a little bit on Coach Billy Donovan. I did walk that back a little bit in the second half, but we'll talk about that in a minute here. But yeah, Vooch, I don't want to hide that. What you said there, I want to go ahead and explore that a little bit. Definitely, if not the best, then one of the best games he's had as a Bull. 13 of 21 from the field, 62% from the field, 30 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal block. We're not expecting anything even close to this, on a nightly basis. But I think for the last, I would say, 8 games or so, Trey, he's been playing a lot better. There's been a few games where he's had a bad game. But I would say the stretch of the last 8 games or so, he's been playing better and has been more along the lines of the guy that we're expecting him to be. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, he's definitely been able to find more of a groove lately, it seemed like. I think there's only been I can only remember one game off the top of my head where he wasn't able to get a double-double from the rebounds. He's just really been able to find his role and seamlessly fit in there. He really stretched the floor tonight. I'm a fan of him taking as many threes as he's open for. I know you've heard a lot of fans kind of clamor for him to shoot less threes and to go more in the post. For me, I want him to shoot wherever he's wide open, because for Vucevic, if he's open, it's a good shot.
That was what was open. And that's, so we'll talk about that a little bit, Trey. And you guys, you are listening to the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. And before I get started on this, Trey, I want to also remind our listeners here to please take a moment to go follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your new NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, and go follow it right now. So I did mention to you, Trey, that first half, Toronto was playing a bit of a gimmick. They were playing a high trap that pretty much every high school that has athletic players plays. They were trapping the ball, right? And every time DeMar DeRozan got it, basically, at the top of the key, which he was getting at the top of the key every single play in the first half,
when he would touch the ball, pretty much. I would say 80% of the time. They would run a trap at him, two guys, right? And they have length, and that's hard to get through that trap or get around that trap. So that's really difficult to, position for DeMar to be in. But they were bringing the guy that was on the furthest Bulls player on the floor from the ball to the middle of the floor just to basically cover that area so that nobody could, you know, stand there and provide like a safety valve or a release valve. It's a very simple, easy trap that high schoolers know. And so my comment to you was, you know, I was a little concerned about the fact that it seemed like we were doing the same thing over and over again. And, it, you know, we've had this problem before where we were talking about the 1-5 pick and roll and not trying something different on defense. So my concern when I said something, I just messaged you, Trey, and I said, you know, hey, I'm growing less and less with an AM or impressed with Billy Donovan as each game goes by. And that's kind of my issue is the lack of adjustments mid-game. But now let me go ahead and say, just to add some nuance to this, I walked that back in the second half. I thought the second half, they made them get out of that trap within the first, I would say, 3 or 4 minutes of that second half because they were playing it correctly. And that's when Vooch, I believe he hit 2 threes there, maybe at least just one. He hit at least 1 3. But basically, you know, his man would come to trap. He would just step up higher, be wide open from that three-point line, knock it down. Now, all of a sudden, they can't do that anymore. So that was my comment, Trey. And I know you didn't exactly agree with me, but do you see where I'm coming from at least?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely have preferred for him to have the team ready to beat that because it's not like it's something that's new to the Bulls. We've seen when DeMar's been hot, teams have ran that hard double at him. And it's something that the Bulls should already have been prepared for. To me, it's just I don't understand. Like for you said it yourself, it's a high school play. It's something that's been around since the beginning of time. So to me, it's almost the players should know what to do. And seeing the players make the adjustments come after halftime, to me, that kind of that absolves him of, like, say, 75% of the blame that I had on him. Just because he sees what they're doing wrong, and when he has the chance to really make adjustments, that's what he changes. So to me, that's just where I gave him a little bit of a pass. But for me, if I'm going to criticize Billy Donovan, I think it's he doesn't get creative right late in the games. It's the same offensive set. It's that DeMar ISO play. Let him get to his spot and get his shot. And, you know, a lot of times it's great, but when he's getting hard doubled, you know, this wasn't the team to do that against. I love DeMar. He deserves to be an all-star starter. But he's methodical with his offensive game. He's not, you know, it's not super quick. He likes to get to his spots. And having a slow, methodical, older guy going against two young, long, athletic guys trapping him, that's not a recipe for success in the NBA. So to me, I would have liked to have seen this be the Zach LaVine show.
And let me make something clear. I'm still very much up in the air about Billy Donovan, Trey. And this is a guy who had Russell Westbrook in his prime Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and for at least a few years, James Harden on Oklahoma City Thunder team, and he couldn't get the job done. So if I see, and let me be a little bit more clear about this too. I think he's an above average coach, but the jury's still out for me because I am worried and I'm looking to the postseason at this point. I think you have to look at the postseason at this point. There's no way the Bulls are going to miss the playoffs. I mean, there are ways that's going to happen, but it's not likely. So we need to start thinking about how is Billy Donovan going to make those in-series, playoff series adjustments. And I'm just not confident about that, Trey. And so that's why I've got a higher bar for him. And I'm not saying that he's a bad coach. I think he's an above-average coach, like I just said. But this is one very real concern I have about him is just being able to adjust to schemes and gimmicks that teams are going to throw at him. And I think that's definitely a skill. Like I'll point to someone like a Tyronn Lue, and you can point to, okay, I've got a zillion guys out, whatever, you know, I'll point to Mike Malone. I'll point to Tyronn Lue. These guys have a zillion guys out too, and they're still winning basketball games. And it's not all on coaching. There's also players stepping up. I mean, it takes a whole team. Don't get me wrong. It's not all on one person. But when you sign those papers and put a stamp on that and say, hey, I'm the head coach, you're taking the blame as much as you're taking the credit, right?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano. Or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I don't have it up in front of me. When I saw we were going to talk a little Billy Donovan, I didn't think that we were going to be talking about his Thunder days. But I thought he was pretty successful with them. I know they didn't win a championship, but if Klay doesn't get hot, they beat the Warriors, and I think they very likely go on to win that championship. And I mean, other than that, didn't they have someone hurt going into those playoffs pretty much every year, whether it was Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka? Like, I don't know that he ever went in there, you know, with a full loadout.
So brief review, just, and I don't know about the injuries, but brief review here. Lost to the Western Conference Finals 3-4 in 2015-16. So that was a very close series. 2017. So this is his second chance to go around. Western Conference Finals, 1-4, lost to the Houston Rockets. So they only won one game out of that series. 2017-18, 2-4. So he won two games against the Jazz. 1-4 in the Western Conference first round, and that's against the Portland Trail Blazers in 2018-19. So pretty much a steady decline. Now, again, there are other factors, like you said. There's injuries, things like that. But I don't know. I didn't watch those games as closely as I'm going to be watching these Bulls games, so I'm excited to see it, Trey. I'm just a little worried about it. That's all. And I'm not saying, you know, again, I'm not saying that you can't do it. I'm just saying it's something I'm just nervous about.
So you're worried, is there something you would do different? Is there something, what is it you're seeing that concerns you? Because for me, when I watch it, the things I see that concern me are, are they going to be able to get the ball out of DeMar's hands at the end of games and still have him find ways to be effective and stretch the floor, because he's not necessarily a 3-point threat. So, I worry about those types of things, but what is it you're seeing that gives you these causes for concern?
Let me just say first, there are things he does well. I think he did a great job figuring out the rotations, you know, what players are going to fit together and be together on the floor. I think he's done a fantastic job.
We get it. You love him, but.
No, yes. So he does great jobs in different things. But so what has concerned me at several times this season is when a opposing coach just throws a wrench in his game plan, just throw something at them. And it's not even something they haven't necessarily seen before. You just throw something at them that they haven't been doing all game, and they'll do it. And the problem isn't that they do like that.
Like the Popovich with the 1-5 pick and roll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly like that. And it's not. And I've coached basketball before. I know when coaches do stuff like that, it can throw you off, and you can take advantage of it. But it shouldn't last a full quarter. It shouldn't last a full half tonight. I felt like the first half, they totally neutralized DeMar DeRozan. He had a great second half because of the way that they were attacking that trap. And they got him out of that trap, and then DeMar was allowed to beat DeMar. The Bulls won the second half. The Bulls lost the first half by 4 points. They won the second half by 4 points, obviously, to extend it to overtime. And they should have won it by more, but I digress. But that's what concerns me, Trey, is that not necessarily that things are throwing him off, but that he's having such a slow time. Why not call a timeout and say, hey, let's try this? Why not at the, you know, in between quarters tonight, say, hey, this is what they're doing to DeMar DeRozan. Maybe put Vooch at the free throw line, right? And if it as a safety valve, I mean, like you said, they don't have anybody taller than Vooch. If he needs to throw it up to somebody, just throw it up to Vooch in the middle. Yeah, and I know this is easy, like basketball 101 stuff, but the fact that we're not trying it is concerning to me. And
you want him to see the guys not doing these simple things, and instead of thinking, oh, they'll realize what's going on and they'll you know, get their head on right, just calling it, maybe even not even waiting till the quarter, but just calling a timeout and being like, hey guys, look,
he calls it on the boards.
Really quick, because it's not something that, like you said, that's super complicated. You could draw it out on the board really easily and be like, DeMar, when they come, Vooch, you come here. You know, it's very simple X's and O's type stuff that you could do on a board. So that is a good criticism.
Yeah. And then, like I say, it does a lot of other things great. And I'm not, nothing's set in stone, and I'm not an NBA coach, so take my criticisms as a grain of salt. This is just me as a fan, what I'm seeing. I have coached basketball for a long time. I played it for a long time, but I won't by any means say that I am smarter than Billy Donovan. I'm not going to claim that. It's just something that personally gives me anxiety, Trey. But anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about some other stuff here, because there's obviously some good stuff too. It was a good, hard-fought game. I actually thought the defense on both sides tonight was great. Toronto kind of lacks, you know, you're saying that Billy Donovan lacks creativity as far as like throwing wrinkles into the offense. Toronto's offense is pretty lacks creativity just because based on their personnel. They all kind of play the same way. They kind of go back to the basket, turnaround jumper, mid-range, which is great. I mean, it's fantastic, but it's not insanely difficult to defend. So I think that helped the Bulls to defend tonight. But I thought it was a well-fought game, and they both defended well on both sides. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a really intense game on the defensive effort from both teams. Early on in the game, we've talked about DeMar being trapped early on. They were also having Vucevic come over and basically double Siakam in the post early on in the game. And Vucevic was doing a really excellent job. I would even say an excellent job of being able to time it for not getting the 3 seconds, being able to get over, help on Siakam, get back, contest other shots. Vucevic, I said this was his best game I thought this year. He put up 30 and 18 and 4. But really what I was the most impressed with is that defense I was talking about earlier. Just being able to have your head on a swivel, you know, kind of halfway guard three guys at once and be effective doing it. That's key for this Bulls team, because especially right now, we don't have those point of attack defenders. And just huge for Vucevic, because they do all play the same. Siakam, I think, is their best player and is kind of the guy who leads the pack. And his size really bothered the Bulls tonight. It seemed like he got off to a really quick start. I know he cooled off there towards the end shooting-wise, but it seemed like he was the key for them this game.
Yeah, and I loved his after on defensive end. That's a great point, Trey. I was going to mention that also, but slipped my mind as we were got talking about Billy Donovan. But his activity on the defensive side went wonders. And another thing I saw tonight that I really liked was there was actually a miscommunication at one point between him and Zach LaVine, and they actually talked to each other about it, which I hadn't seen before. Usually they just kind of throw up their hands and, like, you know, they'll talk, but it's not like, it doesn't seem like it's like a productive talk. It's like more of like a, hey dude, like, get your crap together type talk, which is sometimes what you need. But tonight it seemed more of like a, hey, this is what, you know, this is what I'm seeing here. And it was like more of an intelligent conversation about what the defensive strategy was supposed to be. So I like seeing that. I would assume, I can't give the kid enough credit game after game, but I saw a steal on Fred VanVleet tonight that was just incredible. He just dug it out of his pocket. He went out of bounds and it didn't count as a steal, but just the kid, man, he has a nose for the ball on both sides of the basketball. He knows where to be on offense, knows where to be on defense. I mean, I know he's going to get a lot of flack tonight for the two very bad turnovers at the end of the game. Really unfortunate, especially the one where he dribbled to the corner and just picked up the dribble, which is just like, you know, rookie mistake. I mean, everyone knows not to do that, but, you know, high intensity game, you just kind of lose yourself for a moment. That second turnover where Gary Trent Jr. just jumped in and stole that outlet pass, that surprised me. So that was a really good play by Gary Trent Jr. I felt like I wouldn't put that one on IO.
Yeah, that was just somebody making a really good basketball play. For me, what I notice, it seems like every game with IO, especially whenever he's really in his playmaking bag, is the drop-off passes. When he dribbles into the lane and he will wrap around his defender and throw a bounce pass to a waiting big. Or, you know, it's not even always a big, but a lot of the times it's the big that he's, like, had the screen with. I think that if he continues to have success, that's going to be like his little trademark move, is that little drop-off pass. Kind of like how Rondo used to have that fake behind-the-back thing he would do. I think Io's going to have the drop-off pass.
Yeah, it's a beauty to see, man. It is wonderful to see. I'm trying to look up, Trey, if I could look up maybe what the deflections were in this game, because there were a ton on both sides. Because like you said, the Toronto Raptors like to contest horizontally rather than vertically. You know, they're not exactly the tallest team, but they get their hands on a lot of basketballs and they get their hands on a lot of passing lanes.
And their effort is just through the charts. Their defensive communication is fantastic. Nick Nurse always has that team playing, you know, at a top tier level. So it's not easy for the Bulls to have success against that. And that's, again, I know Zach was pretty questionable for this game, so I wonder if that's maybe part of why he didn't have as much usage as I would have liked to have seen. He only took 10 shots. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was really hoping that the athleticism would be able to shine, because it's got to be hard for DeRozan to shoot over a guy that's, you know, OG's what, 6'8", with what, a 7-foot wingspan? That's very, very difficult to get a shot over and to make. So just a rough night against an excellent defensive team. We had 17 turnovers. It was, you know, I'm pretty sure we were out-rebounded. Yeah, we were only out-rebounded. Only by 7, but that's surprising to me. It seemed like they murdered us on the boards there early to take the lead. So
they had 22 offensive rebounds to our 10 offensive rebounds. So that's the one huge difference I'll point to, because it was. I mean that's really, there's Nick Nurse is he's incredible. He deserved that Coach of the Year award. I might end up having to put him in my top 5 coaches here. You know, I've got Spoelstra on there. I've got Pop on there, of course. Of, you know, I had Brett.
You didn't have him on there before.
No. Oh, Nick Nurse? No, yeah. I, you know, I hadn't watched a ton of Toronto Raptors basketball until like last year and then this year, to be honest with you. So I was sleeping on it, man. I missed out on him, but he's playing that squad the exact right way that he should with what he's got. I can guarantee you that half the other coaches in the NBA, if they were given this NBA team, wouldn't know what to do with them. But he's doing exactly what you need to do to succeed with that team. They are a gritty, defensive, athletic, long team, and it is tough to score on them. They make it – it's a grind. That's why I went to overtime, Trey, and I was like, this is not going to go well, because I could just see the Bulls were just – tired, man. It was just, they were just worn out. I did not want that game to go to overtime, so that last play was really unfortunate. But crashing those offensive boards, like you said, man, that's they are doing that every single play, because they have the length to do that. Everyone on their team, like you said, is just so tall, so long, not tall but long, and they get their hands on basketballs, man. So 22 offensive rebounds, Trey, there it is right there. I don't really need to say much more about it, do I?
No, not at all. They really abused anyone that wasn't Vucevic on the boards, and keep harping on Patrick Williams being out. This is why we hope they upgrade that power forward position. Bradley was the first big man sub in the first half. They tried Cook in the second half, and they were basically pulled him for Bradley after he had back-to-back mishaps. Is that, I suppose, the right word for them? Even Kobe, I didn't feel like had a super strong game. The effort was really there, especially on the defensive end. There were a few times I noticed he was able to fight over screens and stay with Fred VanVleet. I think he kind of took that as a personal goal, it seemed like, in the game. But just overall, it seemed like when he was in, things didn't seem to go right. So maybe he was just the victim of his size against what Toronto had out there on the floor bothering him.
Yeah, I think this is in a situation where, like, the single game plus minus. I know I posted on Twitter a while ago, and you said you felt personally attacked. It wasn't personal to you, I promise, Trey, but do not use single game plus minus. It's just, there's just so much context missing with that. But this is a situation, because I felt like when I was watching him play out there, he was impactful and doing well in the minutes that he was out there. But I think you're right that the Bulls probably had a big, significant loss margin in terms of points when he was out. So he's probably, I'm not even looking at it, but he's probably minus 19. He is the worst on our team as far as the single game plus minus goes. And I still feel that's indicative of how he played. Like you said, I thought he really gave a lot.
Oh, no, I don't feel like he was quite that bad. He was 4 of 8 from 3. So he shot the ball really well. It just seemed like every time he drove, he was, anytime he was doing anything that wasn't a spot up 3-point shot, he was having to be amongst the trees. So I think the degree of difficulty was just kind of ramped up for him, for me.
It was. That's
you definitely can't trust the plus minus, because Vucevic was a minus 7.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's the overtime.
Oh.
So he would have finished the game even. Right, but being, with the overtime, he was minus 7. But Vucevic was the player of the game for the Bulls. If they can get that kind of effort from him on the defensive end, that's gold. And the Raptors are one of the few teams that aren't going to just repeatedly put him in the pick and roll. That's not something, we saw a lot of tonight. But it's nice to see Vucevic have a successful game on both ends. Now, if we can just get it in a win.
So some good news here today, Trey. Obviously, Zach LaVine named a Eastern Conference All-Star about flipping time. I think, Draymond Green, Charles Barkley, several others. I think almost everybody that watches NBA basketball knows that he probably should have been a starter over Trae Young. But it's okay. He's going to play in the game, and that's really all that matters. I don't really care for the game itself personally, but I do care who gets named to it, because people do use that in the future or whatever to discuss who's actually a good player during time periods. So glad he made it, Trey. Thought it was deserving. Anything you're looking for from Zach LaVine this time around? I mean, you're looking for him to go off in the All-Star game? Do you even care?
No. I mean, I know DeMar's starting, so it'll be nice to see them probably get to play some together. I'm sure the coaching staff will do that for them. For me, I don't want him to play a lot. I want him to get healthy. I'm focused on the playoffs. Most years I'd be excited and I'd be like, man, I hope he goes, you know, between the legs in the All-Star game, which, you know, I still hope he does, but my eyes is kind of geared towards the playoffs, and I'm like you, I don't watch the game, so I look forward to whatever he does that makes the highlights.
Yeah, I might catch the highlights here and there. There's no point. It's an exhibition game where there's no defense played typically. I do like the new format. I've read a little bit about that and watched a little bit about that, and it's interesting, but no, it's just not my cup of tea. Another little interesting tidbit about the All-Star game. Since the Bulls lost and the Heat won tonight, percentage points separate the teams in the bid to see which coaching staff is going to represent the Eastern Conference at the All-Star game, Trey. So a little bit on the line there too. The Bulls are playing the Pacers and the Sixers, and the Heat are playing the Hornets before the games are cut off for that. So it would be kind of cool to see our coaching staff there. That would probably help you see DeMar and Zach on the floor at the same time, wouldn't you think?
Well, if Spoelstra is the coach, don't you think he's just going to play Zach and DeMar like 48 minutes?
Yeah, he wants to.
Just run them into the ground.
Yeah, right.
Giannis Durant, too.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be allowed to do that, but he is a smart guy. I think it had to cross his mind at some point for sure. But hey, speaking of games with no defense and lots of scoring and everything, hey, we have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest teams playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the player with the most points wins wins a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. And if you want to go to my Twitter at BSBPKeith, there's actually a link there that you can use to sign up and get your first deposit matched up to $100. Very easy. Go to my link and click those sign up buttons and go do that. Someone did that actually, and I want to thank you because I did get a notification about it. So whoever you are out there, great job. Let's get some more. Exciting game at least. This is the first game of a trip here. The Bulls have 4 games in 5 nights coming up here, which is just brutal. But they're going to be playing a lot of games here. They're playing the Pacers tomorrow, which hopefully is going to be a little easier than tonight, I would hope. Pacers are just utter turmoil. They've got the Sixers on Sunday, which is going to be a tough game, and then the Suns on Monday. So what are you looking for in this next game, man? Are we looking for them to take care of business early and rest these guys?
I'm looking for another big Vucevic game. Miles Turner's not going to be playing. So Sabonis, while he is a very talented playmaker, and he's very talented on the offensive, and he's not necessarily a talent on the defensive
end. Is he going to be playing? Because I know he's been injured or he's been in the health and safety protocols.
I don't know if he's going to play or not.
Let me see here. It says Sabonis,
you're the injury guy.
Right now it says Sabonis is out, but that stuff does change. Let me run through this with you guys. They don't have Miles Turner. They don't have Domantas Sabonis, probably. They don't have Isaiah Jackson, who was playing for them. They don't have O'Shea Brissett. They don't have O'Shea Brissett and Goga Batadze are both questionable, so they might have one of those guys. But yeah, I would think Vooch could probably cook any of those guys. What do you think?
Yeah, so I expect a big game from Vooch is really where I'm at. You need to keep this momentum going with him. Keep him getting involved. Keep that, you know, good mental, you know, energy going into him, because you see how much it affects him whenever he struggles. You can see how much it hurts him on his face. And you see the joy he gets whenever he succeeds or whenever he comes through for the team. So to keep that going for him, I think that would just be huge for his confidence going into the stretch run.
I'm looking for Zach LaVine to have a little bit of a bounce back here in this next game. I would like him to be able to sit in the second half. We did see him grabbing his back a little bit in the second quarter of today's game. Said he was okay, but he did have back spasms that made him questionable today. So I'd like him to, man, just drop a quick 20 in that first half. The Bulls are up, you know, 20-25. He doesn't have to play that fourth quarter. I would be totally stoked with that. Can I give a little love, though, here? I forgot, I have a note here, and I forgot to mention it. But Javonte Green, man, every time this guy gets the ball going towards the basket, he's going to the basket like a bat out of hell, man. And it is a joy to see, because he has just reckless abandon, just no concern at all for what happens to his body. And, I mean, I have a little bit of concern, but how do I put this delicately? I don't want him to get injured, but I at the same time, he's not as vital to the success of the Bulls as some other guys. So I love just the fact that he's able to go in there and just try to dunk on every single buddy that he drives up a hoop on.
Everyone. He just, yeah. Everyone. You can't say enough about him. From the fact that we mentioned Io passing, turning the ball over to Gary Trent Jr. at the end. The only reason he was able to do that was because Green tipped the ball away. Right. And, you know, one of the most crucial moments to get the Bulls a chance to go down and take the, you know, I think it was tie it or take the lead at that point. So, he had numerous plays throughout the game where he's tipping balls. He's making the correct defensive rotations. He's guarding a guy. They set a pick and roll, and he knows they're going to pass the ball, so he just goes ahead and switches DeMar because he knows he's the better point of attack defender. So he just stays on the ball. He does so many little things that are underappreciated. He's not quite as good as Caruso, but he's that same kind of glue guy when he's out there.
Yeah. And he's not as good. I would say on defense. He's not always in the right spots on defense as Caruso is, but on offense is really where he's lagging behind Caruso, because I feel like on offense, he's just so limited in what he can provide. But I still do love just watching him get the ball and just try to slam dunk it on everybody's face, because that's awesome. And we all love to see that. We'll be back with you here tomorrow, Trey. Hopefully you can join me for that one, but we'll be back with you tomorrow, and we'll have a bit of a longer show, I think, for all you guys out on Dash Radio also. Hope you're tuning in there. You can listen to us there as well. But I think that's going to do it for – oh, one more thing, Trey. Before we sign off, there was a little bit of an injury update here. I don't know if you saw it, but John Collins looks like he might have separated his shoulder tonight. Really unfortunate for him, man. But that's a tough blow for the Atlanta Hawks. I know they're not really someone we're thinking about right now, but they are a team that still considers themselves a top four team. So tough blow for them, man. What do you think that does for the Hawks season if he has to miss, you know, a month or two?
That's news to me, so I'm reacting in real time. I think it really puts a damper on what they like to do offensively. You have Capella and Okongwu, who are kind of interchangeable with one another, but John Collins is that lob threat who can also stretch out to the three-point line that kind of lets Capella and Okongwu have that around the rim airspace. So for me, I think it really hurts what the Hawks like to do, because he's so vital in the offense he provides without having anything really ran for him, much to his displeasure.
Yeah, so much for those Bulls trade rumors for John Collins. If he's actually going to be injured for any period of time, I don't think that's going to happen. I never thought it was going to happen to begin with, but I think that would definitely rule that out. But that's a tough blow for the Hawks. I don't know how they recover from that. Okongwu's been playing really well. I have been watching them a little bit there, because Trey, I know you've been on that Okongwu train, and he's been playing very well. So I've been enjoying that, but I don't know if he can step in and do what John Collins does for this team, specifically, like you said, on the offensive side. So, but anyways, that's going to do it for us here at the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Final Finally.
And go follow us on Twitter. The show is at Ethos Bulls, please. And if you're listening out there and you have iTunes, please leave us a 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing. Need to hear from you guys, man. Just drop that 9-8, 7-8, 9-minute review for us and tell us what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right. But until tomorrow, go Bulls.
Then
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.